right, welcome into the latest edition of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. It's a big one. I'm Paul Ener Jr. here with my man, Jason Williams. Can you be, you like if I call you my man?
I like it. You're excited today.
I know. I'm always pretty excited. I'm always excited. This is one of my favorite times of the week.
All right. I know. Welcome back to the TSC.
I know. It's a little over the top.
I love it. It's great. It wakes me up.
I enjoy doing it. I just need the break right now from Bengal land. It's fairly exhausting.
New day.
I like the new day campaign. Actually,
did we talk about that last week?
I don't know. Maybe
I forget a lot of stuff. I think we did.
We did.
Because I said seize the day was silly.
It was silly.
New day. I saw it on a billboard just the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually like it because it's plays off the Who Day spelling, D-E-Y.
Yeah. And hey, what else do they have to sell right now other than it's new? That's what you're selling. You're selling newness.
Because really, at the end of the day, there's still the Bengals.
Yeah, there's still a lot of people not super thrilled. You know what? If you want to hear about that, you can go listen to the Bengals Beat podcast.
Yes, which you is can.
Fletcher and I posted that yesterday.
I got my alert on that yesterday.
A lot of stuff going on there. So you can check it there. But we've got a lot happening here on That's Cincinnati today. We're going to talk. Is there anything that unites people in the city more than having to drive through potholes and just deal with garbage on the roads? I feel like that's going to be. So we'll get into that, because guess what? You might be seeing potholes for a lot longer than you thought. And you might not like that.
I got to tease everything first.
Polly Campbell, she's back. I'm excited. Our food writer, being Polly. Polly Campbell, she came in back in December.
Such great listenership to that episode.
People were all about, well, she did her favorite new restaurant to 2018. So we talked to her. She says, she told me yesterday she has Valentine's Day hot takes, which I'm excited to find out what that means. We'll talk to Polly Campbell about Valentine's Day and restaurants. I want to talk about National Pizza Day.
I have Valentine's Day cold cake, cold takes, cold cakes. Cold
are you,
takes.
Are you going
to? I don't care.
Oh, God.
Just another day.
You're just cold water on everything.
Not everything. I like college football.
All right.
I like coffee.
Obviously, we'll have our That's So Cincinnati moments at the end of the show. Reminder to everybody, thank you for listening. It's been great watching the audience build. It seems to be a building little community of That's So Cincinnati out there as we've been, our numbers have been steadily going up. It's exciting. If you get a chance, subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those places, wherever you listen to podcasts, we are there. Tell your friends if you like it. If you think it stinks, you can tell them too, but I think according to the way it's been going, it looks like most people are enjoying it. So we're going to keep doing it. They haven't kicked us out yet. And
no,
all you
haven't.
People listening are assuring that we get to continue to come in here and BS in this booth, which is great.
I agree. You know what else I like?
What's
local
that?
I like local journalism. I love local journalism.
You should subscribe to the Cincinnati Inquirer.
I'm very passionate about local journalism, especially here in Cincinnati. So, yeah.
I mean, I assume it's why you do what you do.
It is why I do what I do. It's why Burrow allows me to do what I do.
That's right. Shout out.
I actually, came in here today with the intention of shouting out Burrell, because I think we missed it last week.
And you got to
keep the streak going.
Yeah, you got to double up. All right, so reminder, if you want to have an email read on the podcast, you can just send it to Jason. Jason, what's that email address?
jwilliams@enquirer.com.
That's ENQUIRER.com. And we'll shout you out. We'll read out your question and discuss it. If you have something that you would like to hear, or you just want to tell us things that you want us to really dive further into in general, topic ideas, guest ideas, fire them off to us.
We really want your emails, folks. And we'll talk about it here on the episode. And
yeah, it'll make it better.
I think it could really add to the conversation here.
For sure. All right, let's talk about kind of what's going on, a big topic of the week, and that is ODOT. Let's talk roads. Roads.
People love them some roads.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. we might need it to be that way at this rate, right? I mean, if all the roads can't be fixed, we need Doc Brown to come in and just create the flying car, because...
Get the Green New Deal, maybe we won't need roads. Ooh, he went there.
Yeah. what's going on? Why is there an issue with roads potentially outside of the fact that I don't think I've ever seen more massive potholes in one city.
Oh, I tell you, it's brutal.
It's ruthless.
Oh, but hey, meanwhile, City Hall. Now, in the city, the potholes are a responsibility of City Hall, and that's where I see the most potholes.
True.
But hey, they're wringing hands and arguing about soccer stadiums and streetcars and
ding. First FC Cincinnati mention.
So. And streetcar.
We just can't get through it. And a streetcar mention. So that's two.
But anyway, and my ding of City Hall of the week.
That's fine.
Brought to you by.
So what's going on? Why is there an issue with ODOT right now?
So ODOT's budget is, so their transportation budget's a 2-year thing, and the 2-year budget is up this year. Well, it turns out, so Kasich, when he was in office, had a fix, and that was to essentially bond toll money on the Ohio Turnpike. I know it's getting, I don't want to get too far in the weeds here, but it turns out that was really it was a great idea, because you could turn around, you could take the toll money, and you can borrow money off of the toll money. And that helped upgrade a lot of things across the state. Well, it was a short-term fix. And so now they are in trouble and need a long-term fix. And ODOT is looking at a $156 million hole if we keep going by 2020, if we keep going the way we're going. And that's going to be really
bad. Are they out of cash for this 2-year cycle?
They are. So the 2-year cycle, the new 2-year cycle begins.
It's February.
Yes. But the new 2-year cycle is getting ready to begin. So they're out of money for the 2-year cycle that's ending or has ended. And so Governor Mike DeWine has assembled a bunch of task force and people, and another task force is formed. Allegedly it's an independent task force from across the state, just so magically happened to form at this time as well. And to try to look at this. And they're looking at their talk is probably raise, or they're looking at the most, the easiest probably way to do this is to raise the gas tax. So Ohio ranks fairly low, middle of the pack in states for, state gas tax at 28 cents a gallon. Whereas we, some of our neighbors are, all of our neighbors are higher than us, our neighboring states, except for Kentucky, I believe. I did a piece on it like 3 weeks ago. But so now essentially they're kind of rolling up their sleeves and trying to really figure out politically how that's going to play. And so they're looking, but there really aren't any too many other options. Tolling is being
They can't just let stuff go undone, right? I mean, or is that where they're at right now? Or is stuff that's screwed up now, whether we're talking about potholes or road work that needs to be done? I mean, is that stuff going to just be on hold until they figure it out?
That I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure how much money they have in their reserves, but certainly this needs to be addressed right now. There's a couple other things they're looking at. One is looking at potential, and this is a Bill Coley, who's in Butler County, lawmaker. He proposed putting a flat fee at each registration for everyone who owns a vehicle. And also there's been an idea that's spun out of that. Well, why not just do a fee? So raise the gas tax, but also do a fee to people who own electric cars and hybrids, because actually that's really at the crux of the problem here is you don't raise the gas tax. We haven't raised it in Ohio for 14 years, and the federal gas tax hasn't been raised since 93, as you well know. It's not a popular thing for politicians to raise taxes, and especially a tax like that where so many people are affected by Republicans, Democrats. Yeah, everybody, so many people have cars. So what he's saying is slap a $250 fee on the people who own a Prius or an electric car. Well, at the end of the day, though,
Prius owners trying to be all saving the earth and stuff, $250.
Because they actually, the people who own electric cars don't pay at all for the roads, the gas tax is what pays for the roads.
Yeah.
And so what he's saying is, I actually think that's a good idea. However, there still are so few electric cars on the road that it wouldn't really raise a whole lot of money. Yeah, yeah. Certainly people would maybe be helping out and chipping in. But I think in Ohio, it would only raise like a couple, $2 to $3 million more dollars.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly that would help some little bridge or stretch of highway somewhere in the state. But in the big picture, it doesn't put
drop
much
the budget.
Of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, so the end, this has suddenly become front and center. I mean, how did this sneak up on? It seems like, it feels like almost it snuck up on them somehow, like they didn't see this coming, or is this, I mean, why?
Yeah, it did. Like, I don't know, I don't know the backstory or what. You didn't hear a lot of alarm bells being sounded even last year when people, I guess the people in the know knew that this was coming up. But, you know, I don't know if it, you know, thinking back, I'm wondering if it just wasn't mentioned because of the election cycle and neither candidate wanted to talk about it, or I'm not sure.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, let's just hope that stuff starts getting fixed and it doesn't have to last long, because it is dreadful driving out there.
Well, you know,
right now. Just awful.
And we've talked about on a previous episode about how bad a shape bridges are in the Western mm-hmm. Hills Viaduct, and this is the funding that would help address some of those issues.
That type of stuff too.
Yeah.
All right. Good stuff there. You have something up this past weekend about the business community being mad at City Hall.
I haven't written about this yet, but
you're going to.
Yeah, I'm planning on writing about it.
What's going on? Why? I mean, outside of the fact that people are always mad at City Hall, why is the business community mad at City Hall right now?
So the Chamber of Commerce is, is clearly putting City Hall on notice. What they're during the every election cycle, they do what's called a business index card, and they essentially score the candidates on how they rate on, you know, are they pro-business, how are they on economic development, how they answer questions. Well, now they're actually bringing this scorecard back, and they're doing it based on how city council votes on developments, pro-business,
yeah,
taxes, tax incentives, those types of things. And the reason why they're doing it is there's a growing concern in the broader business community. This is big, small businesses. So the chamber's leading the effort, and the chamber is saying that this is only us, and they're only representing themselves and, of course, their constituent or their members. But there's a lot of concern about an anti-development what am I saying?
Movement.
A movement afoot at City Hall with the five progressives and, the majority of council are now Democratic progressives. And I don't see all of those folks as being anti-business, but there's certainly a few of them that I think that clearly are. And the big concern is that when you have the big concern is bigger picture down the road. What's going to happen when you have right now you have a pro-business mayor in John Cranley, but he's term limited out in 21. You have six open seats technically, and the people who are coming back, Greg Landsman, or the people who are incumbents, they're not guaranteed to come back. Greg Landsman, Tamiya Denard, and Jeff Pastor. Denard and Landsman are both in the progressive camp, and the business community is very concerned about some of the things, some of the ways they voted and some of the things that have been proposed there. So I think you're looking bigger picture here, and the business community is, you know, ultimately, if I could sum this up, they're putting City Hall on alert that, hey, we're going to hold you accountable. We're going to watch you. And so we're going to update this scorecard monthly or quarterly now, not just during the campaign, but now while you're in office, to show people, you know, whether you're pro-business, how you're voting on, you know, pro-business or anti-business legislation.
Yeah. This is kind of, I mean, it's funny. It goes back to what we talked about before the election about the vote to have shorter term limits or to have a quicker, to the 2-year cycles. This is exactly what we were talking about. It's so that the pressure and accountability can be on these people from places like the business community to say, look, if you don't start responding to us, we have the power to get you voted out, and we can do it quickly. Otherwise, if there was a longer cycle, there's really not as much pressure for them to react to the people that are talking to them.
Yeah, they have the power to certainly put pressure on the voters they have the money and the influence to try to influence the voters. So, yes.
Very interesting. Speaking of influence, Polly Campbell.
Yeah.
She's got influence. She can absolutely just destroy a serving staff because she'll write a glowing review about a place and then they'll just get crushed unbeknownst to them the next day for lunch. That happened. I was at Fiery Hen, which is it's downtown.
Hot chicken.
Yeah. I got some hot chicken down by the lobster bar down there. And I went in there and they were, I mean, the servers and bartenders and everybody was just sweating profusely. I came in a little after lunch, like 1 o'clock.
The same day that her
the day after it was the day after her review had come out, and these poor people got absolutely destroyed at lunch, and they were not ready for it at Fiery Hen. But it was great because everybody cleared out right as I showed up, and I actually got great service in the
field. Influence the local journalism
there.
Right there,
dude. Polly Campbell, awesome. Man, she wields some power for sure. So anyway, we always love having Polly Campbell back to talk restaurants, talk food, talk beer spas. We got all that on the table today. So here is Polly Campbell. All right, interview time here on That's a Cincinnati. I'm excited. You know why I'm excited?
I can tell.
Because I'm always excited, partially. But Polly Campbell, our food writer, is back. Polly, it's so good to have you back.
Oh, thanks.
Polly's excited.
I am.
Yeah.
One of our most listened to podcast episodes so far in history.
Yeah. Well, when we talked about your best new restaurants of 2018, uh-huh. which was a huge hit and great stuff. But now, so after that, we said, well, we've got Polly needs to be regular. We need to have her on regularly because there's always people cannot get enough. They're hungry.
They are hungry. And I have a lot to say.
You do. What I loved was we were talking about it yesterday and you said, I have Valentine's Day hot takes.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Which I didn't know such a thing existed. But so I'm really excited to find out what that could be.
I hope I really know what a hot take is. But yeah. I think that's what I have.
We could be about to find out.
Yeah.
So my kid said the other day when he had a little Valentine and said, be mine. He's like, be miney. I'm like, that's be mine.
Do kids still do the Valentine's Day cards in the boxes? Is that still a thing? I don't know. Like it was when I was a kid.
Oh, he's writing out these little cards. I don't know if they're coming in a box or not.
I would assume.
It allows for some very deep psychic wounds.
Right.
You don't get as much as somebody else.
I mean, I feel like there's definitely still kids out there who remember in third grade when they only got four cards in their class of 27.
Yep.
I know is Scarlett at Elm Elementary in Wyoming is getting a special Valentine from Reed Williams.
Wow. Ooh. Crush?
Big time crush.
Big time crush. Well, maybe they could join as they go to a restaurant with them. One that Polly recommends.
Tila?
Yeah.
You like Tila, don't you?
Yeah.
I don't really like Tila, but yeah.
Well, you know, for me, Valentine's Day is like it's the only day of the year I feel sorry for men.
Right. Why is that?
Because it's impossible to get it right. Just about.
That's pretty much the 364 other days a year for me as well, Polly.
Okay,
so.
True. But it's like women have some particular idea of what's romantic in their head. They can't tell you what it is because then it wouldn't be romantic. You have to get it right. And you probably won't get it quite right. That's what it seems like to me. Maybe I'm speaking from experience. I don't know.
Sometimes you just got to come to terms with the fact that you'll never get it quite right.
Yeah.
And people like us, when we're married, like they understand that. That's basically in the vows. Like, thank you for knowing that I'm never going to get it quite right.
Every day is Valentine's Day for me.
Yeah.
So I don't celebrate Valentine's Day.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
You just
my religion
to give every day.
We used to, but the stress got to us.
Can we talk about what your hot takes are on Valentine's Day? What is like some of the best play? What is your recommendation?
Well, here's what I say this almost every year. It's like, don't let anybody else tell you what's romantic. You know what's romantic for you and your Valentine person. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be like low lights and chocolate and roses. That's just one way of being romantic, right? So you got your little kinks, quirks, whatever. Take mm-hmm. care of, do those, you know, do whatever it is. If you like if your first date was at Taco Casa, go to Taco Casa, get a tuna boat. I don't know, you know, whatever. Or if, I mean, people do go to White Castle on Valentine's Day because they love White Castle so much. So
good for them.
If they can do that, then you can do whatever you want.
Do they make heart-shaped sliders at White Castle?
No, they do not.
Oh, I think I just gave them a great idea.
You did. But I mean, there's some heart-shaped pizza out there.
So. Sure.
But, you know, there's obviously some places that are prime Valentine's Day places like Soto, where it's in the basement and the lights are low and it's romantic and the food's good.
Very romantic.
Yeah. Mm. Or Carlo and Johnny, where it's like over the top romantic and it's expensive, and that's sometimes romantic for people if mm-hmm. you spend a lot of money.
Soda just needs some Barry White playing on the background.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Kind of
or they could, you know, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, but Valentine's doesn't have to be a Barry White song or a, you know, Lionel Richie song or something.
Or a Richard Marx song, right?
It could be, you know, I don't know. It could be anything.
You like Richard Marx, Polly?
I don't think I do. Do I?
No one's gonna. No one's gonna say yes to that. Like, it's just not a thing. Okay.
Eighties singer songwriter.
Oh, not familiar. Sorry.
You wrote your Valentine's Day opus full of many hot takes and suggestions.
Suggestions, yeah. So
people can obviously go to sustain.com, check it out. And if you don't have ideas, you're sitting here right now, it's Wednesday, you're like, I'm listening to that Sustain podcast, I'm totally screwed tomorrow, I don't know what I'm going to do. You can just go and read the story. There are many, many ideas of places to go.
Like, for instance, go out and get drunk. That's one thing you can do. You
know, I'm
like,
always for that.
Don't drive.
But don't drive. Get an Uber. And as I said, make out
or Lyft
on the way home. Yeah.
I'm anti-Uber.
That wasn't me being sarcastic. That was me being serious.
Yeah. Or, you know, go to one of those movie theaters where you can eat while you watch the movie.
Yeah.
I don't
always
know.
Always in play.
Yeah. That's fun. Or go to a bar and throw axes or something. And then get something.
Do we know how that place is doing?
There's axe several throwing? Places.
There's multiple axe throwing places.
Oh,
there's the one in Kentucky.
There's one up north somewhere. I forget where.
This might get me to leave my house. What, tell me more.
Oh, you don't know about axe? They give you an axe and then you throw it at a target.
And drink.
Like a person?
While you drink.
You drink and throw axes at a target.
You're specifically asked not to throw them at people.
Yeah, is there a sign to waiver, I assume, when you show up?
Probably. Yeah. I haven't done it yet. I thought that could be romantic. Or you could go to Loveland.
Yes, I wanted to mention
that. Loveland.
Yes, the land of love. Well, because you mentioned in there sort of how there's a lot of new stuff. They had the fire out there.
Right,
now all kinds of new stuff has sort of popped out because of that a little bit. Or not new, but old.
Well, yeah,
but new.
like Tano's Bistro had a terrible fire. That's where the fire started. And so they remodeled completely. And now it's really nice. It still looks cool, though. It's still got this little historic thing going on by the bike trail down there. And then there's a place called Bishop's Quarter, and there's a couple other restaurants. Oh, and there's a really great vinyl store out there, Plaid Room Records. And this summer—
Are you a music critic, too?
I could be. I don't know who Richard Marx is.
We didn't bring you here to talk about music.
I'm sorry.
I'm the music critic.
I'm sorry.
Take that, Burl.
There's also, like— There's going to be like six different rooftop patios out there.
Yeah.
So a little early for that. But it's kind of fun to go out there.
Yeah.
And there's actually a candy shop on Loveland.
Or you can go skating at Castle Skateland.
You could.
Yeah.
That's a great idea. You could do that. That's romantic.
Absolutely.
Maybe.
Reverse skate.
Not to me. Right.
Hold hands. Yeah. Hang out with the kids.
I could not care. I mean, I'm sorry to ruin. I guess this is our interview segment.
Oh, my God. Are you going to curmudgeon this whole thing?
I just can't.
How does your wife feel about it?
Quote holiday that I care about even less. Maybe Halloween. I can't stand Halloween either.
Does your wife share this sentiment?
For the most part, yes.
Okay, well,
especially about
then.
Halloween.
Cool.
Valentine's Day is kind of indifferent.
Yeah. I mean, you've got your anniversary. You've got your birthdays.
Our anniversary comes up next month. So.
Yeah. So do that one. That's fine.
I still can't believe that you're anti-Halloween. Halloween is like a pretty much universally loved, I thought.
I mean, it's fun for the kids. Like, we had this. We're getting off topic here.
That's okay.
We had this thing, not last year, but the year before. It was our first year in our house, and we cooked hot dogs and like gave out apple cider or cider, whatever, hot cider. And just kids from all over came, and that was fun.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you did have a good time at Halloween.
Except we made the mistake of giving napkins out with the hot dogs, and I spent like an hour that night cleaning.
Picking up napkins.
Like for three blocks away on both sides of the street.
Well, you're a good citizen. Maybe you should try Valentine's Day too, if you like it.
I am a good citizen.
Can I ask you another question?
Yes, you can ask me another question.
I saw you wrote about the beer spa.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, in Columbia, Tusculum. What is that? So you can just, I thought it was kind of frowned upon to drink in a hot tub. Like, at least I've been told that after
doing it
for too long.
Yeah, I know. I asked him about that, and he said, well, we make sure the temperature's not too hot and you have a lot of water to drink.
Are they open yet?
No, they're not open yet.
but it's coming.
And just so you, just to be clear, you don't actually bathe in beer. In case you were looking forward to that. Okay.
That sounds expensive as well.
Yeah, right.
I was thinking more like they would just take cans of like 50 West or something and roll them on your back as your back massage.
Ooh. That could work.
I thought that was like
and
beer
spa. And you
could
cool down that way.
Yeah, not bad.
So the beer spa, it's dumb. A thing. I'm not sure the world needs it, but it might be fun.
Yeah, I find it to be interesting. I mean, I've just never really heard of that before. Seems like
it's pretty unusual.
And it was it was like $75 to do the spa and get like two beers.
Yeah.
Is what you're supposed to say. I mean, it's a little rich. It's a little rich to have a couple beers.
Well, but in a hot tub.
I can take a hot shower and like drink a couple beers in my house.
Do you think restaurants overdo it on Valentine's Day?
No, I think restaurants, it's a kind of a good and bad day for restaurants because obviously they're only getting parties of two and mm-hmm. they have lots of tables for four. And so they try to give you specials, you know, that are a prefix thing with three courses or whatever. So maybe they can turn the table over once and everything's easier and they can get it done. And some of those specials are really kind of nice. I mean, a lot of them do involve filet mignon, but something like Mita's has a really great tasting menu, or Ando Japanese has one, and you could, you know, eat sushi together or feed each other sushi. I don't know. but just about any place you like is probably having a Valentine's Day special. And hey, but it's all weekend, so you could go out on Saturday.
Right.
You know, and then maybe that's a special or maybe not. But the romantic places, I'm afraid, are probably all booked up at this point, if you didn't think ahead.
Yeah, you might be a little behind.
Thinking ahead is romantic, I think.
You know, Waffle House has weddings now.
Okay.
Like there's such thing as Waffle House weddings.
Okay, sure.
I'd be on board with that.
Uh-huh.
That would be romantic.
No, it wouldn't.
It goes back to what you were saying about White Castle.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Maybe
that's
for you it would,
whatever it is,
Paul.
For you.
Yeah, like exactly.
If this is not the case, but if I would have had you know, my first dates or memorable uh-huh. moments with my wife at Waffle House,
yeah,
that would be
a
great place to go.
You could get married at the Pepper Pod in Newport, too, if you wanted, you know.
You could.
In the middle of the night or whatever.
When I say then I like a bowl of chili from Skyline,
come on.
Why do I get made fun of? That's what's for me. That's what I like.
No, that's different.
What? It's embarrassing.
It's
embarrassing
wrong. Cake. Sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
You guys are missing out.
There's absolutely no room
missing
for
out on the true
taste.
Flavor of the chili.
Uh-huh. That might be the point.
I have one other thing written down I wanted to talk to you about because last Saturday was National Pizza Day.
Oh, yeah. Pizza Day.
It was also National Bagel Day. So we had them at the same time as competing
bagels for breakfast.
Bagels for breakfast and pizza for lunch or dinner, I assume.
And lunch and dinner.
Or
lunch
bagel
and dinner.
Pizzas.
Yeah.
They make those.
What do you have a favorite? I know there was a couple that recently were ranked as some of the best pizza places or something like that. The Tavola, right?
Tavola, which I do like. Yeah. And I think Dewey's, you know, like Dewey's is definitely there on my list.
Solid.
You know, it's solid. It's great. I love their concept. I love the way they wait on your tables. It's really a good one.
Yeah.
But I really do love all the new wood-burning pizza oven places.
Yeah.
Like a Tavola or that, it's in Fort Mitchell.
The wood-burning in Fort Mitchell?
Oh, I could think of it if I wasn't on a podcast.
Well, I'm a big fan of Fireside over in Walnut Hills.
That's a nice place.
I really like that place.
Yeah.
And we went there Saturday, actually, to celebrate.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter, who's going to be two in May, basically had pizza for the first time, essentially.
Oh, that's awesome.
It
was
awesome.
Watching her fall in love with pizza, because she was like, it was resistant at first, right? Like, we went to the first. She's like, I don't know. And then we're trying to explain, look. It's cheese. It's bread. You like these things.
Yeah,
and then next thing you know, it's all over her face and she's just shoving it all in. She
that's
like
awesome.
Three slices, which I think was unhealthy.
Yeah, that's probably a lot for
her. It was a lot for her.
Yeah.
However, I was just going to, you just got to let it go when it comes.
Yeah, because
you know?
Pizza just, it has everything in it that tastes good. It's just, mm-hmm. it really is like the perfect combination of things.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what my favorite pizza is, but I can tell you what my least favorite pizza is.
Okay.
La
sure.
Rosa's. Your
okay.
thoughts?
My thoughts? I'm not from Cincinnati.
Not liking it, but
it's one of those things it's like you love if you're from Cincinnati.
That's what I say.
Yeah.
People make fun of me. They get mad at me. Like,
wait
I'm like
a minute.
Yeah, the only people who like La Rosa's are from Cincinnati.
Yeah. I mean, I'm actually doing a story with La Rosa's right now and with Buddy, who, you know, they've been around 65 years. Yeah.
Yeah, and just that sauce is like, what's up with
that? It's a little sweeter. Yeah.
La Rosa's has got to be, I would say, arguably the most polarizing actual restaurant in the city, where people have very hard takes one way or the other.
Really? Yeah, it's funny. So is Montgomery Inn, similarly.
I feel like Montgomery Inn is more universally liked, though, than La Rosa's. I feel like there's way more negativity towards La Rosa's than there is from Montgomery Inn, unless you hear differently. You would be more...
Well, it's the guys who are like really into the authentic barbecue that's low and slow, and they know how to do it, and they go to contests and stuff, and they're like, oh, well, Montgomery Inn's not good. You know, there's this whole... And pizza's similar. There's a move towards what's more authentic, what's the latest thing. So it's kind of hard for some old school restaurants to satisfy. They still satisfy their old customers, but it's harder for them to reach new people who have some new idea about what's good.
I would say it's an easy recommendation, though, if you ever have like family or friends or anybody coming from out of town, just be like, look, Montgomery Inn, Boathouse.
Just go.
It's such a solid, it rarely misses. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's always when people are always wondering, what do I tell somebody who's coming from out of town? It's Cincinnati authentic. It's a great location. Uh-huh. Even the Montgomery one, but I like the Boathouse a little bit more. I mean, it's cool.
What are your, here's what I would tell those people who think, oh, it's not slow and it's not good enough. I would tell them Montgomery Inn was here before you got here, and it may very well be here after you're gone.
Well, that's what I'd say to you about La Rosa's.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Touché.
You know what? My favorite pizza is Dewey's. So there, period. I love Dewey's.
Well, you know, I think Dewey's is like, it's the other Cincinnati thing. Yeah. It's like, there's...
Nobody complains about Dewey's. No.
They're a chain now. I mean, how far out are they going?
Well, they're
gone now?
Here and in St. Louis, basically. Oh, and they were founded here, but... They're sort of simultaneously in both places.
Yeah, the family owns the St. Louis Cardinals. The DeWitts.
Yeah. Oh, okay. But they're from here somehow.
Interesting.
They are.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I didn't know how quickly they've expanded.
Bill DeWitt's son owns Dewey's.
Yeah. I see it so much around here in different places. I didn't know how far it had gone out yet as far as chain goes. But
yeah.
No, they're great. And it's great. We used to love it when it would just be me and my wife or somebody. Even if it was packed, you could always go sit at the bar.
Right.
And it was really easy to get in there. But I mean, there is no night where it isn't. Just pack in there.
Right.
And the kids love watching them make the pizza through the window.
Yeah.
So the weight doesn't feel bad, but they do a great job.
It was one of the first places you could really get some good beer with your pizza and stuff. And so, and the salads. And they haven't messed with it.
They've done a good job of making sure they have good local beer on tap too. Yeah. I know there's always a good assortment of the local stuff.
You heard it here first, folks. No complaints from me on Dewey's. So.
Wow.
Okay.
Did we just agree on something?
We did.
We did.
I think it took us all that time to finally actually agree on something. I feel like we should go out on that now.
You have forget whatever you're saying. We have four pages here laid out, and you have heart-shaped donuts.
Yeah,
what's
those are from
about?
Dunkin' Donuts.
Oh.
You can get those on Valentine's Day.
Okay.
But you can also get, you know, fancy French pastries.
And doesn't taste any
different.
If
you were my boyfriend, that's what you should do, is get me a fancy French pastry. Mm. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Just so you know. But what about the donuts?
They're heart-shaped.
They don't taste any different.
Well, I don't know.
364 other days of the
Maybe
year.
If they're given with love, they do. I'm not sure. But
well, that's sweet.
I think they're the same. But
what restaurant are you reviewing next? Are you allowed to tell us?
I can't say.
Oh, you can't?
Well, okay, the next one that's published is going to be, it's going to be a sort of a story / review of Flip Daddy's.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's their backstory?
Well, they were founded by a local guy, and then something happened and they went bankrupt. Not bankrupt, Chapter 11. And then there's this new guy who's the CEO, and he's doing all kinds of things. He thinks they can go national. Yeah, yeah. They started here. Yeah, so. So
how
it's
far,
about that.
Now, have they gone out as a chain, or are they just
they're
here?
Just still here, except they opened this one in Alabama, and that's apparently why they went bankrupt. That one didn't work, and it kind of...
Alabama out of nowhere, huh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Speaking of Alabama and barbecue, you ever had Dreamland?
Oh, yeah.
In Alabama?
Yeah. Dreamland barbecue.
I've been to 48 states. Alabama is one I have not been
really?
To.
Really? Yeah. What's the other one?
Mississippi.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Birmingham is a good food city.
Yeah.
Yeah, sneaky.
I interned in Birmingham.
Oh. Yeah.
Dreamland is the barbecue.
Dreamland's pretty special.
And do they do that Alabama barbecue with the white stuff on it?
Not there, they don't.
Oh, okay.
But their big thing is like they give you a big styrofoam thing of sauce. And it's pretty runny sauce.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just give you like six slices of white bread as your side. And you dip the white bread. Literally just Wonder Bread. And you dip it in
I know.
The sauce and it's just
all those places.
This may be
awesome.
Why I've never been to Alabama.
All those southern places, though, Rendezvous in Memphis, I think, might be the best. With
dry ribs.
Dude, that when you go in there, too, where it's like in a back alley and they're just slinging that stuff.
Yeah.
And it is a cool feel. That's one, probably my favorite place that I've ever been to like that.
Yeah.
Of those southern spots. All right. Am I allowed to end it now? Can I end it now, JC?
I have one more thing I want to tell Paulie.
Oh,
so since we had you last time in what, early December, one thing you recommended when I asked you about McDonald's was you said I really like their coffee and you get and you get a vanilla shake,
yeah,
and a coffee, and you get an empty cup and you pour the two into one.
Did you do it?
I did it, and it's awesome. So do it to the millions and millions listening out there. You should do that.
There you go. Perfect.
If that's my legacy, I'm not sure exactly how I feel about that.
That's
but
your legacy.
It was cool. It's good. Yeah. It was a great idea.
I love it. Paulie, thank you so much for joining us. We will have you back again.
Okay.
We don't need like an excuse. We'll just come up with an excuse to bring you back. It'll happen soon.
Any old time.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks.
Much thanks to Paulie Campbell. Always, always love having Paulie come in. She's always got good stuff. And I'm telling you, the McDonald's trick, she whether you're talking about Boca or all the way down to McDonald's, she's got you covered.
She knows what she's talking about.
She knows what she's talking about. Love having Paulie. We got to figure out when we're going to have her back again.
I wonder if she did a review of McDonald's. If every McDonald's in Cincinnati would get crushed.
I'm sure.
Get crushed the next day.
I'm sure. I'm surprised they haven't as much as you talk about them that you haven't.
I know. I have some influence, don't I?
I think we're finding out that you might not, but. all right. So it's officially time for the That's a Cincinnati moment of the week.
Dun, dun, dun.
I got one. So I know that this is a thing, and it's weird, as people well know here, because I talk about it too much. I live in Oakley, and I'm just astounded at what's happening with real estate in Oakley at this point. It never, like, ceases to blow my mind, and everybody has this moment, I feel like, and that is when you see your neighbor with probably the nicest house in the neighborhood, all of a sudden a for sale sign goes up, and you're like, ooh, I want to go look in it, and I want to see how much it is, and you get like I cannot wait to open up the listing and like see everything. Now, in my neighborhood, this house they've done like three additions since I've moved in there. This place is massive, and these dudes that live there, it is just impeccable. It's awesome. They have parties, and I've been over there before, and it's just ridiculous.
Where did you say you live? Indian Hill.
I do not live in Indian Hill. I live in Oakley.
Oh, Oakley. Sorry.
Yeah, which is just on fire. So I open it up, and I was like, you know, what do? We always say, okay, how much do I think they listed it for in my head, right? And I was like, oh, I think it'd be pretty expensive. I mean, it should be pretty expensive, right? This baby came out at $700,000. I could not believe it. But the thing is, like, that's becoming the going rate in this neighborhood. I cannot even believe it.
This is not
what this neighborhood is.
They're gonna have to get rid of that shirt that says Oakley is not Hyde Park.
No, Hyde Park is gonna start being Oakley near before long.
My buddy who used to live in Oakley has that shirt, and it just cracks me up every time. I'm thinking, when I start hearing about $700,000 house prices.
Well, this place is, is over the top. I mean, they have a pool and a full setup in the back, and they have like a pool room, and they have another addition. They have a mother-in-law suite in the like bottom level that you can use as like an Airbnb if you wanted to. They got garage. They've got everything, man. You can afford it. Come on in.
Yeah.
Sure. Do you want to be my neighbor?
I could afford the mother-in-law suite, just the suite.
Come be my neighbor. It'd be easy. We'll have Phil come over, and we'll record podcasts in the mother-in-law suite.
Can't do it. I got talked into moving to the suburbs. And, yeah, that's every damn time I drive home from the office on 75 and there's construction.
Wyoming isn't too bad.
I call my wife, and I complain. I'm like, who was it? I let her know. I remind her. Who was it that made me move to the near or long or to the west of 75?
Yeah, that is pretty silly. You don't want to do that.
I've worn that one out pretty good.
Yeah, well, that's just, I always, I feel like everybody has that moment, though, when they come back and like, ooh, let's see, let's take a look at this house. Let's see how much it goes for. But it is continuously blowing my mind. I see more and more people, especially in that area, are just gutting and flipping, baby. Gutting and flipping because it's paying off. Sooner or later, that bubble's going to burst. I don't know when, sure. But I'm here for it.
You guys going to stay there long term, do you think?
Hopefully. Okay. Yeah, we love that neighborhood. Yeah, we love the location, everything. I grew up in Mason, Westchester area, and it's fine. You know, I grew up a suburban guy. I hardly ever went downtown or came. Yeah. This was like foreign territory to me, even in anything over in the Oakley, Hyde Park, Mount Lookout, whatever, and certainly all the way over by St. X and Elder. And then I just loved the idea because I never had it. Of living in a walkable community. Yeah. Like that is just always something I wanted. And it's really hard to find and still be close to downtown. And so to find, that's why houses go for as much as they do, because the Oakley and there's the Square and Mad Tree and everything, all the development happening at Oakley Station has helped make it an even better walkable community. And so, like, that's why I don't want to give that up, because I have the dream, right, of the kids where we walk up to go to, we walk to Dewey's, like we were just talking about, or we walk to Aglamisi's, or we walk up to OPG, Oak Club and Grill, and go and have lunch or dinner or whatever. And it's just, there's a Blue Manatees up there, you know, you take your kids to King Arthur's. It's like the idea of just doing that. And there's for me, we might send our daughter to private school. St. Cecilia's is on our street. You can like walk to school. All that stuff always really reached, always spoke to me, because I never had that when I commuted via a bus to Moeller from Mason, Westchester area. Yeah. I mean, it was like a 20-minute bus ride to get to high school. Which is crazy.
This is one thing we agree on.
Yeah.
Actually, we agree on a lot of things, but this is one thing. Like I'm the exact same way. Like I really, when I bought a house, wanted to have it in a walking community or a walkable community, whatever you call it, because I grew up in the country. Literally, I grew up on a farm. I was not a farmer. We weren't farmers, but we built our house on my grandparents' 100-acre dairy farm.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's out in the middle of the country. And my school was 9 miles away. The grocery store was 6 miles away. And it's like, so being in a walk community is a big deal. And
it's just a totally different life. You know what I mean? And I find it enjoyable. Not this time of year when apparently it rains for 82 days straight, but it's just pretty good in the summer. You told me before we came on, you have a curmudgeon moment. And I said, don't tell me, save it for when we go live. I want to have a real fresh reaction to it. So what do you got?
So Saturday, this is just a multi-layered curmudgeon moment, complex. Ooh. And
multi-layered,
just
a lot of
agitation,
ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous.
So my mom comes into town. My wife's out of town, and she leaves town early Saturday morning. So my mom comes into town and is helping me with. We have a 6-year-old and a 2-year-old boys, and so the boys want to go to the aquarium. And my mom wants to go, and so we go on Saturday morning, and it's just, brutal. I literally...
Packed.
Just packed.
Newport. Shout out Newport.
Shout out to Newport. Great. I mean, it's awesome. Yeah. But it's like, you can't see anything and whatever. But the kids loved it. I no sooner do I get down the escalator, which is where you enter, and you go down an escalator after you walk in and have their ticket checked or whatever, I get a text from my wife saying the neighbor texted and said we got a busted pipe. And so it was our outdoor faucet. And then the in-laws, fortunately, they only live up in Springfield Township, so they went over, looked at it, and I'm like, in the meantime, we're getting down in, because the aquarium's kind of under the ground, so no cell service. I'm sitting here thinking how this is going to be, how expensive this is going to be, and how agitated I'm getting, and is it getting in my basement? And it turns out it wasn't getting in my basement. But the problem was me trying to fix it. It turns out it was just the faucet, fortunately. But I, you know, just thinking, oh, I just got to take the faucet off, turn the water off. So we go with like a day without water in my house. I take it to Menards. The guy's like, oh, that's a specialty thing. We don't have that here. You have to go to a plumber.
Come on, Menards.
So I'm like, okay, Oh, don't worry about him. So I go to Home Depot on Sunday. I stand there and there's no one. And finally, a guy walks by and I was like, do you have a second to help me? And he's like, oh, I'm already helping these people. And like, these people had gotten there after me. And I was just, oh. I did the whole passive aggressive, like great customer service. And I just walked. I was with my 6-year-old.
That really is an old man thing. Customer service, Home Depot.
And so I grabbed my kid's shoulder and I was like, we're out of here.
I remember when they used to respect the customer.
So this is
not anymore.
So we go over to Lowe's. And Lowe's, like, there's no one at Lowe's, and it's just like...
Man, you are throwing everybody under the bus. Menards, Home Depot, Lowe's.
I ring the little bell, like... And then
maybe it's you.
It comes over the intercom, help in plumbing, or whatever it was. And then the guy comes, and he looks, he's like, oh, yeah, you just need a half or whatever thing for this. And, like, so he gives it to him. I was like, ah, but they said this is an older thing, blah, blah, blah. He's like, ah, you'll be fine. He's like, go ahead and buy the other size, too. Take them home. Neither one of them fit. I just said to hell with it. I started wrapping this like pipe liner tape around it, and then I started wrapping duct tape.
Oh, here
and
we
it
go.
Worked, and it worked,
and it worked. And
after all that, I mean, after running to Menards one night and running to Home Depot, and yeah.
Flash forward to next week on the That's a Cincinnati podcast. So that whole duct tape thing totally backfired in my face. There is water everywhere. I can see this coming. We were going to have the state of the faucet is going to be a running gag here.
Here we are on Tuesday afternoon. I did it on Sunday morning.
Still holding strong. Duct tape,
I mean,
man.
I wrapped that puppy. It's like waterproof duct tape, so.
Yeah, sure. No way this backfires on you.
Nope,
good call.
Never.
All right, so thanks everybody again for listening to the Cincinnati podcast. Shout out Burl for keeping us going, keeping us humming. Shout out to my man Phil on the ones and twos, hooking up all the mics, got us sounding good.
Phil, did you get that music, that Richard Marks music lined up?
Richard's.
For the intro and outro?
I'll get you something good one day. This I promise you.
I don't feel like that should be your one promise.
I don't think that's Richard Marks, by the way.
I feel like
that was the Backstreet Boys.
We should focus on other promises besides this one. That's my thought. So anyway, yeah, thanks for listening. Remember, if you want to send an email, you can send it to Jason. We'll read your questions. Or if you have any ideas for who you'd like to have as a guest, we can get to that. Any topics you think that we need to be breaking down here on the TSC, just let us know.
Breaking it down.
Anyway, thanks everybody for listening and following. Remember, subscribe, review, all the things. Anyway, we'll talk to you later. Have a good one.